J6, number 20B.
So we can see here that already it's showing us what Jesus really came forth as a natural divine science. He came forth from the Father, from that one parent mind, naturally, because it really was Mary, his mother, that saw that. As I mentioned before, at the point of principle, in that 4,000-year period, comes forth the birth of Jesus. And Mary saw that the divine mind, which is God, was the parent that of man, and that it was the creator, it was the origin, not the human mind that believed in that sense of that we're born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, and die out of the matter concept. She caught so clearly the tone that God is the creator, that God is the producer, that God is the parent of man in the universe, that we really come forth from the Father, that Jesus was born with Mary's, because of Mary's vision, really, the Annunciation and vision to Mary. So we see then that he was a natural divine science. He naturally went out from this mind. And Jesus' life is so interesting because, you see, he was born in a manger, and his life was not a life of an intellectual. He didn't go to the big universities. He, as the Bible wants to show through the symbols, that he was just a carpenter. He wasn't part of the Sanhedrin of all the intellectuals, to show that it isn't, that's just a symbol to show that his understanding was not a buildup of human knowledge, of human information, of building up the intellectual capacity, that his knowledge came forth from that mind, from the original source. And so that's all symbols to let us see that it's not scholarly or intellectual mind, but it is coming forth from God. It doesn't mean that divine mind doesn't act intelligently. We know it does, and that it's all informing, but it just means it's not a process of accretion, of intelligent matter. So this is wonderful, this one on parent mind. I just love it because it really should begin to free us of all sorts of false beliefs, because it shows here, since mind is the creator of man, we must recognize God mind as our parent and progenitor. God is the parent mind, and man is God's spiritual offspring. And where Mrs. Eddy says there in the interpretation of the first statement of the Lord's Prayer, it's our Father which art in heaven. And she says that is our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious. Then I like what it says here in the compendium, that the recognition that man's family tree is not in ancestors, but in the divine mind, enables him to free himself from all human medical laws of heredity. As the offsprings of the all-harmonious parent mind, man inherits only divine ideas, never good and evil human traits. So even here where it says how it frees us from the belief that we are a product of the past, of tradition, of environment, of a certain race. Gosh, what freedom from the physical belief of a physical brain, and then just the belief of mentality, that whole laws that go on in mentality, as Rupert Sheldrake has shown us, and before him Carl Jung, that the human mind is just a reservoir of universal collective beliefs, that every child born into the mental realm takes on all those universal beliefs that have ever been thought, that makes up mentality. And that those beliefs at any time can spring forth in our consciousness. And that's why people like Joseph Campbell and these scholars who studied mythology, as Carl Jung presented it, would say, well, what myth are you living? What kind of a myth are you? Meaning, well, what of archetypal beliefs are you showing forth? See, the psychologists believe that 90% of our mentality is thinking us from the unconscious. That 90% of what we think we are comes from archetypal beliefs. And then the rest just comes from what the DNA says about us, what the family's limitation on our mind is. and then the rest comes from what astrology says about us. Well, we haven't much of a chance, do we? We're locked into those laws of limitation in the mental realm. And so they say that, and that's what psychology says. We're patterns of the unconscious. That's why Sheldrake, when he wrote his popular book today called The Past is Present, showing that all those beliefs linger in this morphogenetic field, in this a pool of a reservoir of information. Well, he's just popularizing what Carl Jung, as a psychologist who was a student of Freud, said quite a while ago through what he called the archetypal beliefs, the collective unconscious. So to break out, and we'll see that the world is happy with that now, and they feel that that's wonderful. They've discovered that mental realm. But we'll see that that mental realm can be good and evil. Sure, there's sometimes good beliefs in the mental realm, but there's also the evil, isn't there? And that's where, through tapping into that mental realm, they get into the psychic warfare and the mental assassination. Pushing the mental realm far enough will be mental assassination, insofar as it doesn't matter. We can lock our doors and bolt our windows. Mentality will kill. That's the ultimate of it. And they say today that there are books out about psychic phenomenon behind the Iron Curtain that, I mean, I've known for 15 years or 20, we know, through the work at Stanford Research Institute on psychic warfare and psychic phenomenon. For years they've been investigating the positive and negative aspects of mentality. It just isn't always. Once in a while in the articles in the paper, it comes out about what's going on in these mental researchers. Institutes, but we must be assured. One time there was a very shocking article that came out. They don't let it out often, but once in a while there's leaks about what goes on in those researches, and it's incredible what they're doing in the name of good and evil, researching both of it. I mean, they want it for good, but they're trying to see what it can do for either way. And as they say always, that the Russians are so far ahead in the psychic research. Well, they have written books coming out of the Soviet Union about the research being done. So it isn't something to say, well, I don't believe in the realm mental. I believe in the real strong physical stuff, and I'll just lock my door at night, and that'll keep air out. Well, it's going, as Mrs. Eddy said, that mental realm could be hell let loose. Hopefully, as we see through spiritual culturing and enlightenment through science, as we saw in Revelation, that with that Gabriel state of consciousness, that all is mind, and mind is all in all, and mind has never lost sight of itself, that, she says, will hold crime in check. She said so often that if we were of one mind, how does she say that? It's written about her saying, if we were really conscious of, pardon me, if Mrs. Eddy, it's attributed to her as saying, she said, if we were really conscious of the meaning of these synonyms, this would heal every case. And I also remember her saying that she was saying it didn't matter how many students were in a room. She said, somehow, even if there were a few students of the room, if they were of one mind, it would heal the world. It's that idea that one on God's side is a majority. Well, look at Jesus' state of consciousness. He changed time from before Christ to after Christ. That was quite a powerful event that occurred to change the world history, spiritual history. So we see that this information has an impact. But if mentality, hopefully it will come through enlightenment, we saw in Revelation, through the Gabriel sense of science. But the option there you saw was for the Armageddon. It was there for the Michael, for the spiritual having to battle out the battle until the spiritual always wins. The outcome we saw there was divine science. The outcome is the city four square. The outcome is universal salvation. It is the realm of divine science, of peace. That absolutely is man's birthright, and it will be a universal and collective and individual experience. That's true, but one doesn't know the path, how the path will be to take it, whether it will go down science or down suffering. That's all dependent on world consciousness and how alert it is and how willing it is to go forward. If it doesn't resist the Christ idea to take it forward into the moral and into the spiritual, it will go, we know, without suffering. But if it resists it, there'll be suffering. But it is to go through. So I'm just saying this because the mental can be good and evil. Therefore, if the evil aspect of the mind is investigated and used too much in the name of error and crime, etc., that will force man to look for something higher, to look for the Savior beyond the mental. Right now, they're comfortable in the mental realm, as we know, and even call it spiritual. So it will be pushed into this realm of knowing that the divine mind is the parent mind, not human mentality. And in there we have the reservoir of mind itself. And so really that once we, through concept building and tonality building, we will begin to see by that building up the symbol mind, that mind which is God is our parent. And we should love that. When we come to this point at home in prayer, love the fact that mind is our parent mind. Mind is our origin. It's to mind we go for all the answers, for all the solutions, for all the creativity, for all the intelligence. And then that's true about who we call our human parents, too. See, we free ourselves of a family tree, of an ancestors, which is all within that mental realm of the belief that we were born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, and die out of matter. That all goes on within the mental realm. And so we free ourselves of that family, ancestors, of that cycle. But then we bring our family out of that. We don't want to leave that in hell. We'd see, well, that was true of what we call our earthly father and mother. They too are the image and likeness of God. Their consciousness too comes forth from the Father and always has come forth from the Father. Their true parents also is the divine mind. Our mother's parent was the divine mind. Our father's parent is the divine mind. The family, the children, we're a true Hannah. In other words, we give the mother back to God, we give the father back to God, we give our children back to God. Everybody like a Hannah, we give back to the original origin. And that's healing, isn't it? Of the past, present, and future that we were ever in an illusion. Tremendously big vision there. And you can see how big the ideas there of the parent mind is, how it opens up that wonderful realm. And can you see when we touch an idea, we touch the infinite one, we could spend all year, couldn't we, on that? Giving ourselves back to the parent mind, the husband back to the parent mind, the children back to the parent mind, whoever, the boss back to the parent mind. That could be a whole year's exercise. That's not easy. We always feel we're under some other kind of influence. Give the universe back to the parent mind. So you see how, and as I mentioned yesterday, the value of loving these ideas. All right, so let's go on then to the next point of mind forms. We're building up, we're really getting an understanding of that capitalized term mind, aren't we? And as Mrs. Eddy says, we only learn it through what mind's idea only teaches it. All right, mind forms. 96 in the Mind Compendium. Form, as Merriam-Webster defines it, to give form or shape to fashion, to give a particular form to, also to model by instruction and discipline. Merriam-Webster. Since mind is creator, mind must likewise be that which forms, shapes, fashions, and models everything. All creative qualities and faculties are founded in divine mind. References from the textbook. Mind forms man. Mind forms the bud and blossom. But mind, God can create and form nothing but that which is already contained in this mind, namely its own likeness, its image in idea, never in matter or air. References from the textbook. Mind forms its own likeness. Mind forms its own images. Mind forms love's ideas. The formations of mind are thus always spiritual and are governed by divine mind. Malformations and deformities are not of God's creating. Divine mind restores harmonious formations. So we see that the divine mind forms. It has so many important points. You can see the buildup. It says, first of all, mind is the creator. Mind has that ability to create. Creative then is much more that sense that mind has the ability to create an original score. And it does create, like a writer. It writes the original score, let's say. Then, it writes the original script. Then mind is the producer. It produces that original script. It actually brings that original script forward. It just doesn't leave it in the realm of idea. Mind produces the script and brings it forward. It's the parent mind which brings forth the child. It does bring forth an offspring. It doesn't just leave it in the realm of mind. And this shows it even more so, that mind forms man. Mind forms the bud and the blossom. Therefore, that shows that what mind brings forth as a product has form. You see, there are formations of mind. This is always where people, when they start getting into the spiritual, they say, well, if you say all is mind, well, then my identity goes poof, it disappears. I have no more identity. There's no more form to me. We must just be big floating brains in the universe. So we just meet heads floating around. Yeah, really, that's what one thinks, that they're just floating heads. Well, that would be so pleasant, wouldn't it? That this shows that mind forms that whole image called man. We have our identity, as Mrs. Eddy said, mutating away from time and space. We don't lose the form of our identity. All we're doing is gaining a correct definition of it. So we see then that it is a formation. Here's where you get the information, right here, where Mrs. Eddy says that mind forms man. Well, man has a formation, but it's formed by mind, not matter. And certainly this beautiful flower, this bud that we have in the class that Janine brought us, that beautiful rose, and its color and everything, that as an idea, mind forms the bud and the blossom. That rose has form. But that form isn't because of matter. That form is that mind gives form to the bud and the blossom. There's real form there. Now, just because it's a mind universe doesn't mean that that rose goes and disappears. It's there. All the spiritual universe does is define the creator of that form and says it's mind, not matter. You see, it's just like what Mrs. Eddy said, as I've mentioned before, concerning Adam Dickey, when she put out her hand and said, "What is this?" And he says, "It's matter." And she says, "No, it's spirit." He was looking at her hand and saying, "It's matter," and she was looking at the same hand and saying, "It's spirit." It's different states and stages of consciousness. It's different standpoints of perception. It's just how you perceive it. The same universe perceived either from the concepts of matter or from the ideas of mind gives you a different universe. The same universe perceived from material concepts, you see what you believe and you believe what you see. It's still the spiritual universe, but you're seeing it through dark glasses, as Paul said, through matter concepts, and it distorts the image. It's the image of God, but it's distorted through material concepts. But now, if you put on the vision, the spiritual teachings are, as Paul wanted to show, if you put on the true concept, the true vision, the true perception, and see the world as idea, the image just is the same, but it comes more and more into focus. It becomes clearer and clearer and more defined, diviner. She says man takes on a diviner form. It's still the form, but it becomes a diviner form. Well, that's wonderful. One doesn't lose one's form. Very important point in Christian Science, because it makes the idea substance. See, that's what spirit will show. That idea is substance. Isn't it tremendous? Now, we could go around again for a year just holding that in consciousness, that the universe is, as Mrs. Eddy said, all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. Going around all years looking at the universe from the standpoint of mind and its formations. That's why Jesus beheld in science the perfect man. He saw mind's formation, where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. Mortal concepts saw the sick man. But Jesus, beholding mind's formation, healed. He brought forth mind's formation. So it is so big. You see, this is wonderful little... It's amazing how this compendium is closed to an intellectual approach. It, honestly, they feel it is dry bones, and I just look at whoever says that to me, and I don't know what to say. Except then that one hasn't had the right buildup to the compendiums. I still feel if a new student walked into the class, let's say I began the class on Sunday and handed you the compendiums to you and said, let's start at it, they probably would be dry bones. But as we see, it's these days of building up the right standpoint in which to approach the compendiums are very important, very important. So all these 4 or 5 days we've had to build up gradually through from the physical to the mental to the spiritual, then defining the spiritual through the first record of creation, seeing how it's opposed by the second record of creation, seeing that being worked out through spiritual evolution, through the 1,000-year period, all builds us up to this appreciation. So in presenting the subject to new ones, you can see how, and if you do it, to do it that way, build it up. So that foundation is there, that this is finally becomes concrete being. All right, let's go on to 96, mind is cause. The definitions of creator, create, and produce all mention cause. The creative impulse is causative. It is therefore evident also that mind has to be understood as the cause of all effects. Definition from Annandale, cause, that which produces an effect, that from which anything proceeds and without which it would not exist. It is a deep-seated peculiarity of the human mind always to trace the cause or origin of any condition or occurrence back to how, when, or where it began. An inquiry always seeks the primary cause. This is rightly so, since any desired change in the effect must of necessity be preceded by a change in the cause. The question arises, is it mortal mind or matter? Or is it the divine mind that is causative? Mrs. Eddy says, mind, not matter, is causation. Divine mind is the only cause or principle of existence. From this it is evident that one can think logically only if one begins with mind as the cause of every true effect. The first cause governs the universe. This is in the textbook says, the real jurisdiction of the world is in mind, controlling every effect and recognizing all causation invested in the divine mind. References from the textbook. Mind, the cause of every effect. Causation of mind acts through law. Everything that is unlike God in his idea has neither true cause nor true effect, but belongs to the realm of illusion. Illness, neither cause nor effect. In the same way as mind is characterized by cause, it is characterized by origin, author, and source. Then some references in the textbook to origin. Mind is the origin of science. mine the origin of all that science reveals. Then mind is author, references to the text in the textbook. Mind the author of all things. Mind not the author of matter and illusions. Source. Mind the source and condition of all existence. Mind the source of all movement.